This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack.
A presidential candidate predicts a millennium earthquake will destroy L.A. in divine retribution.
Like the mighty fist of God, Armageddon will descend upon the city of Los Angeles, the city of sin, the city of Gomorrah, the city of Sodom, and waters will arise and separate this sinful, sinful city from our country.
Sad story. You gotta smoke? This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, our first not-Halloween episode of the show.
Wow, yeah, we spent that whole October.
Yep, making scary movies. We're mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 183. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me today, Brian, proud sergeant in the United States Police Force Dunaway.
Sir, yes, sir! Wait, is 2013 now? Enter the stupid secret world code, Kurt Russell, before I have to watch the stupid movie!
The three-digit one? Yeah.
Yeah! Welcome to the human disgrace.
All right.
Nice.
Finally, or not finally, also with us, Randy, need to go watch Miracle just to wash this out of my mind, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This is a public service announcement. You know, sometimes someone needs killing. Let's just say they aren't the best basketball player on the planet. And you get everyone to stand in a circle and shoot inward. Remember, you don't have to do that. I'm standing right up here with a rifle that's got a great scope, and I can kill the basketball gladiator anytime I want. This has been a very special PSA with me, Che Guevara. Thanks for listening.
Nice. Or con. Take your pick. Brian, with great responsibility, comes a terrible role as idiot president in a shitty film, Ibit.
All right. I've saved your daughter, and I've brought back the satellite chip code you need. Now inject me with the antidote. Not like you could if you wanted to, because I'm a hologram. Right. I totally burned you.
Plan failed.
I like it. There's Foley work at the end of your read today. That's pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the episode about Escape from L.A. Escape from L.A., directed by John Carpenter.
Not New York.
No, not New York. Not the good one. Although, I don't know. Whatever.
Not the good one. We can really say that.
I think New York is pretty good in terms of, it's probably just more right around John Carpenter's prime, and this is right around John Carpenter's sort of fall from
decline.
Yeah. Which is too bad, because we've done his movies now, what? This has got to be five
or six. Two dozen times, at least.
It's a lot. It's many of his films. And we've all remarked in each of them, like, we all think pretty highly of The Thing. I think we all like They Live quite a bit. Or at the least, you know, it was...
It's a good movie to watch while you chew bubble gum.
Yeah. Sure.
And Kick Ass.
And Kick Ass.
We all see the merit in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, we do. There's a line from that movie right here.
Son of a bitch must pay.
Yeah, that one. That one. Some good stuff came from that film. There was also one other... What was the other one? The weird horror movie where... they go into the building and now they're in there and they're surrounded by that guy that had snakes on him during his concerts and I can't think of his name. Not School's Out for
Summer.
Is
this Dragnet?
What do you Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper is the zombie man. Remember what was that movie called? Anyway, I liked it.
Why am I forgetting that movie?
It was weird and creepy in parts. It was the one where everyone got drugged through the mirror to hell or whatever.
And it was the top floor was the gateway thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you not remember?
Prince
I don't remember
of
the
Darkness?
Name. Prince of Darkness. Was that it? I think that was it. Why can't we remember that? All right, well, like
a that's a horrible name.
Other memorable films by John Carpenter. He wrote this, and Nick Castle co-wrote it with him. A few other guys kind of helped with some of the scripts. Stars Kurt Russell, Steve Buscemi, Stacy Keach.
He was looking pretty good here still.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It's a John Carpenter film with Kurt Russell?
Yeah, amazing, right? They work together. They have this thing where they can't, that's contractually bound. Anything he makes, he has to give him first refusal rights or something. Right. I mean, it is a sequel to a movie that he was in. And, you know, Kurt Russell, to his credit, is still kind of a badass in 1996. But
shooting basketball.
Name me another movie that was made in 96 that felt more like it was made in 81.
No kidding.
What a odd feeling and experience it was to see this, because I didn't see it released, and I've never seen it till now. And
this came out the same year as like Independence Day and From Dusk Till Dawn that we've seen on this show.
Yep.
And you'd never compare those to quality wise of special effects to this.
You're like two and a half years away from The Matrix. I mean, it's just not even in the same ballpark. It's post Jurassic Park effects wise, like,
you know,
black hole,
this,
man.
This is true, but The question is, was this movie intended to be cutting edge, or was it almost kind of like a return and kind of a little poke at what they had done before? Almost.
It was too earnest.
Was it too earnest? Do you think so?
Yeah. What do you say, Randy?
I think they thought they were making a really good movie. Yeah. I think I sat in the movie theater and saw these fake helicopters and landscapes and thought, wow, that looks
tsunami.
Oh, that looks great. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. That looks fine. Yeah. And it's just 15 years have aged it horribly.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it. You know, looking over the list again, Broken Arrow. I mean, all these other movies that we've watched recently and can compare the special effects. That didn't, you know, special effects didn't come into anything that we talked about with, you know, first Mission Impossible, Broken Arrow.
Yep,
these are ones we've watched.
Hard Target came before this. Frighteners. Yes. So many other better things. And this just looks terrible. It looks old. It looks older than it should look. And I, as much as I like a movie where they do the two-man, I call them the two-man explainers, but it's where two people in authority walk down a hall and finish each other's sentences like twins. In this case, it's Stacy Keach and freaking Ensign Roe from Star Trek. Right. That's great.
Michelle Forbes.
Yeah. Michelle Forbes with her mole in here and stuff. She got, by the way, credit. The mole is in the credits of the film at the end of the movie if you watch.
Jeez. And one speaking line.
Before we get too far away from the fact that this is a John Carpenter film, there's one John Carpenter film we've watched on FilmSack that was not a Kurt Russell movie that was made 10 years before Escape from L.A., and that is They Live. And I'm here to tell you, I cannot see the difference in the effects and the outcomes visually in these two movies. They're 10 years apart. I don't understand.
Exactly. Yeah, my point exactly. And I feel like you go watch The Thing, and even though some of that has aged less well than other things, some of it, The Thing feels like it was made with a budget, with an actual director, someone who wrote a script. Acting is better. The actual, like, just cinematography straight up, like photo work in the movie is better. And the effects are far better than this. And that movie was made, 81? Or 80, whatever it was.
But the thing is a bona fide good movie. I'm saying They Live is better than Escape from L.A.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
That's a piece of crap.
Yeah, completely agree. But I guess that's what I'm saying. You know what this felt like to me? This is
What?
Okay, here's your comparison. You take Carpenter and you take what people think is his best work, The Thing. Okay, you put that right there, and then next to it, you put Escape from L.A., and you're like, man, the disparity here is ridiculous. But I would argue you have the same level of disparity when you put Raiders of the Lost Ark up next to the Crystal Skull piece of crap.
Right, right. That's kind of what I was going for. I was like, I mean, we kind of saw Crystal Skull was, I mean, was it really a true attempt at bringing Indiana Jones back, or was it kind of a little bit of a poke at fun?
It was a pile of hot trash. It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
It's bad, and it's not. But
you know what? The thing is, just like this stupid movie, I still kind of enjoy watching the Crystal Skull.
Skull, I can't watch, so I'm not with you there. But I'm with you that.
What
this
about
was,
the ants?
This,
can't watch the ant scene. This if was I still a YouTube video of the ants.
I can't watch the ant scene because the whole movie sucks. I can't deal with it. I would rather listen. Here are better movies than Crystal Skull. Okay,
Right.
Temple of Doom is a better movie by far. That third one with the dad in it, that one's way better.
Oh, yeah. Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Sure.
Way, way better. And everything else made by man is better than the Crystal Skull. So,
Phantom Menace or Crystal Skull? Which one's worse?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a tight race.
Other movies better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Super Babies 2, Baby Geniuses.
No.
Let's see.
Not even close.
Monos, The Hands of Fate, yeah. From Justin to Kelly.
Yeah.
Troll.
I take Troll.
I'm
going to
make you sit
it.
Down and eat those words one day. I'm going to sit down with all those movies and I'm going to make you watch a movie.
How can you not like Toy Story 3 or Minority Report at all, but you really have a thing for the Crystal Skull movie. I cannot reconcile that in my head. I can't figure that out. You are a strange creature, Brian Dunaway.
It's an odd mix.
It really is. This was actually supposed to be the middle piece of a 3-part deal. So apparently the film was like caught in development hell for 10 years or more.
Right.
The script from the film was commissioned in 1985. Carpenter thought it was too light and too campy. Really?
That explains the reason why it looks like it was from 1985.
Well,
in that mindset.
Who knows what they ended up with, but it remained dormant until Carpenter and Kurt Russell got together with frequent collaborator Deborah Hill. It was Russell's persistence that got the film made. Snake Plissken was his favorite character, a character he loved and wanted to play again, according to him. Maybe he liked it a little too much. Who knows? But third sequel was going to be made, entitled Escape from Earth, which was going to have Snake escaping Earth after a dark matter experiment resulted in 99% of the Earth's population becoming zombies or like creatures like that. However, the negative reaction to this film prevented the sequel from even getting close to being developed. So there you go. There's the history of
this
storied
franchise.
That, yeah.
The funny thing about it is, as much as people say they hate this movie, it still enjoys a 53% rating on Rotten Tomatoes
among
critics and a 40% among audiences. So,
yeah, IMDb,
what does that say?
People rate it 5.5. It says that because this movie came out before Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb and all that stuff, only people who actually care about this movie go on and vote for this movie.
Good point.
And only half of those people actually vote it well.
Thank you for the realistic view in statistical engineering. That was brilliant. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
My favorite little anecdote about would there be a third Escape From movie comes from an Ain't It Cool writer named Drew McQueenie. And he apparently emailed John Carpenter at some point and asked,
"Who said what's email?
Can we get a comment on Escape from Earth?" And he got an email back from Carpenter's wife, Sandy King, that read, "John has just spent a rousing week playing Tom Clancy's War video games, smoking in his favorite chair, and eating fried chicken. Need I say more?"
Wow, that's really the reply. That's fantastic.
That's. Yeah, you need to say more.
Yeah.
Do say okay. more. Jeez, that's great. I want to know way more.
Is she passively aggressively calling him a lazy bum?
Maybe.
Is that what she's doing?
Maybe. Who knows? You're always looking for secret meanings and things. I like that. I like that you're doing that. Someone here needs to be doing that all the time, 24/7.
Secret meanings.
Kurt Russell had a writing credit on this film, and it's his first and only writing credit of all time. Never done anything like that since.
Probably because he ad-libbed so much that they had to give him writing credit because he was off the script.
Well, supposedly the ending is his idea, and I'm not even sure what the ending was in retrospect.
Yeah, I still can't make it out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the human race.
it was so.
Line. I'm going to say that. Is that all right? I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Right. It was so labored.
For that? Put that in the credits. I'm going to get it.
He ends the movie by saying, "My name's Snake Plissken." Like, that was not a running thing, dude. That was not. No one ever doubted your name this whole movie. Why are you asserting that?
Yeah, it wasn't even in the old movie.
It
seemed like it was something to carry over. He did wear that same that outfit at the beginning before they gave him all the black leather chaps and all that. That was supposedly the exact costume, meaning literally the thing he wore on his ass during the first movie, and he's still fit. So they thought that was great, and he'd put him in it for a little while.
I think really that ending scene was to say that, hey, we're about to work on the next one. However, we don't realize it's a piece of crap and everybody's going to hate it and they're not going to let us do another one.
Mm. How many Kurt Russell movies is this now for us? There's some count somewhere, right? Where's that wiki? Someone look that up. Brian Dunaway, look that up.
All right.
You're always good at that. You're good at searching the Google search.
Well, I feel like I just named 4.
I think
because almost everything that was John Carpenter, we can go ahead and
No, because we got, I want to say it was The Thing. It was,
Escape from, no, the Big Trouble in Little China.
And this. I don't think there's any more than that.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
This movie wasn't as good as Tango and Cash.
No. No, it was not.
No.
Kurt Russell practiced playing basketball between scenes as he wanted to make all of his own shots legitimately.
Oh my gosh.
In the basketball scene later, he made all of those shots purely on his own talent, even the full court one. Now, here's what I want to say, Internet. This is what I want to say back to you about your little fact. That's maybe it's. I have no doubt he made every one of those shots that they filmed.
Yeah,
right.
I'd like to see how many takes it took.
Right, exactly. Sure.
Okay, yeah. But that's totally cool. Like, I just want to know why if you're willing to make all the takes, right? Sure. 100 takes, he finally gets the shot. Everybody in the crew loses their minds. Yay, we're done for the day.
Right.
Why couldn't they? 15 years after Airwolf, just get a real helicopter.
Well, you didn't like that weird, crappy, stiff CGI thing?
With the blades that come out of nowhere and unfold in a smaller space than the blades would have folded into.
They were looking ahead 15 years. They were only looking ahead 15 years. Things don't need to change that much.
Which was this year, by the way, in case you didn't notice.
It was 2013.
The year is 2013. I've always said this on shows. Star Trek was the smart show because it said... 25 hundreds whatever years later. Yeah,
we're gonna change the numbering system that we use to really mess you up.
Because by then no one's gonna care. It's like 23rd century, who cares then? When we actually get there, if we actually get there, who will care about Star Trek? So they were the smart ones. These guys are like in the near future of 1997. Like, hey, you dummies.
I'd really like to know what the special effects decisions were for this film because the graphics are awful. I mean, not just bad, they're awful.
Yeah, real bad.
And this is the same time that I remember the guy who was who ultimately ended up selling Lord of the Rings to Peter Jackson, saying, "We're just waiting for the technology to catch up with what we want to do." Oh, really? I remember this. Mm-hmm. And they didn't start making the Lord of the Rings films until the technology caught up and they were able to show what they needed to show. Like, why did this movie need to have so much video game footage?
Yeah, it was bad.
Because Kurt Russell was aging quickly.
Well, we were still.
No, I'm not saying delay the film. I'm just saying use a real helicopter.
We were 3 years away from production on Lord of the Rings, so it was all close enough that you'd think. This is what I think. I think this is. I really do attribute most of this to John Carpenter, just kind of not in his element anymore, kind of off his rocker.
He was older, literally. He was older. Well, how old was he by this time?
Well, he's still old, but it's not an age thing. It's a lost your touch thing, and I'm not even saying you can't get it back, but name a good Carpenter movie from, I don't know, 89 forward. You can't. They're not good. All of them are terrible. He's got something in production now. I'm sure it'll be shit. Well, actually, I hope it's great. I don't know what it'll be, but I have a hint that it will be like, you know, Vampires of Mars or whatever it was called. What was that called?
Ghosts of Mars.
That's like the worst thing ever made. He's got the other one, Dracula 2000 or 3000. That's also shite.
He's allegedly working on a Halloween movie.
Oh, Halloween 3 even.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yeah. So maybe you know he gets back to something
let's not poo-poo the goose that lays the golden eggs, all right?
And he's only credited with the characters. So they're only giving him the credit because he came up with the original Michael Myers. He's not working on a Halloween 3.
So he's not directing anything.
Nope.
He's eating too much fried chicken and whatever. Seriously,
I really don't think that after Starman and Big Trouble in Little China, John Carpenter had any business making movies. Like, it's just downhill from there.
I know we've had this conversation before, but I like Starman. I thought Starman was okay and didn't know it was him even then. I mean, I was younger, but I didn't know. I knew of him, but did not know that was his joint. I didn't know that was
a film. That's because everything prior to that, we always put his name on the front of it.
Yeah.
So I put my name on that.
And that thing was more about Lois Lane and – or not Lois Lane, Indiana Jones's girlfriend and
– Oh, Karen Allen?
Yeah, and what's his name? Jeff Bridges. That was more them carrying everything and less of a director thing. But I agree that post any of that, just it's all bad. And it's probably not. I mean, he's got a reputation. People in Hollywood like him. They give him money. He clearly gets checks for this. Like, it's not like he couldn't make movies. I just think he doesn't care anymore.
Right. You know, I hate to defend this movie, but you guys are going to force me to. And I gotta say,
you don't have to. It's okay.
Well, no, I don't. But well, you know, I think it's I don't think it's the best. I mean, I definitely don't think it's. I don't even know if it even falls over into the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, not even close. No, there are worse movies than this.
But. I feel like we're saying that it's so bad it's not even worth a watch. But I think
it's worth watching.
I think it's so bad it's worth watching. Yeah, I think you should watch this movie to enjoy how bad it is.
Yeah. All right, good.
And to be blown away, kind of blown away by the cast. It's got a great cast. Absolutely. It's got all these amazing people in it, and none of them are any good. Like it's they've really screwed that up. Like let me give you the basics here. We've got your Kurt Russell, your Steve Buscemi.
Right.
Who's playing Steve Buscemi in this thing, I'm telling
right,
you.
The wacky sidekick.
Who's going to care? They're not going to care.
They're not going to care. Peter Fonda as some guy named Pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cliff Robertson, who I mentioned in my intro thing, is, you know, he's Spider-Man's dad. He's a respected actor, been around forever. What the hell is he doing? Valerie Golina, who we just saw in Four Rooms. And prior to that, nothing, I guess. She was in Rain Man, whatever, that lady. She was in there for like 5 minutes, but still.
Mm-hmm. Right. Stacey Keach. Yeah, it was a really Keach. Weird cameo.
And I could watch Stacey Keach eat a hamburger.
Eat a peach. Right.
Pam Grier played Hershey LaPalmas with a hairy armpit.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Campbell as Surgeon General of Beverly Hills.
Did not even recognize him.
Yeah, I watched this movie in the theater 15 years ago. I had no idea Bruce Campbell was in this movie.
Yeah.
No.
And well, until he started talking, I wasn't sure either. But
even then, he only has two lines. He gets killed off really fast.
He looked like Smiling Jack or whatever his name is in the Borderlands 2 game.
Oh, totally does. Yeah, the face mask
guy. Yeah, that was weird. Michelle Forbes, of course. I mean, it's a good cast. And I don't know who Jorge Corraface is, who played Cuervo.
Yeah,
but I don't know what he is previous to this or what he's done. But man, the guy does a Ricardo Montalban like nobody's business.
Right,
and he was actually okay. I mean, he was acting and doing fine.
Shea Guevara, yeah.
It was that stuff was ridiculous.
And it's got Rayanne Graff from My So-Called Life. So, right. There is something about this actress that made me wonder what in the world is her career about. Right?
Yeah.
Like I watched My So-Called Life from beginning to end. It was the perfect
great
time. Like I was that exact age to find it to be. Perfectly timed,
it's
right?
It's a great show. It still holds up. People should watch it. It's good.
And the actress is named AJ Langer, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Apparently, she managed to marry royalty.
Really?
And she is actually properly entitled Lady Courtenay nowadays.
Wow.
She married the son of the Earl of Devon a few years back. So when her father-in-law dies, she will become the Countess of Devon.
Wow.
And she will live in Powderham Castle.
Mm-hmm. She's in amazing? She's in a canceled TV show from 2001 called "It's Like You Know."
Oh, I remember that. That was the that was the one with Jennifer Grey after she had her nose job.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah,
she was. Oh, yeah, she was. She looked awesome in that show. Holy cow! Now that I'm looking at her photos, right. Like, oh yeah, I totally remember her.
She's still doing stuff. She was on Private Practice 2011 to 2012. She's on this Last Chance Debbie. Oh no, sorry, Last Chance Holiday. Or plays Debbie in 2013. She still works, but she's I kind of found her horribly annoying in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
she was supposed to be playing that, right?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was she?
Now. She was also in The People Under the Stairs, which I think would be a great film segment.
I love that movie. The new one, right? The new one.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. The 90 ones.
By the way, I could watch Stacey Keach peel a potato.
Oh, Stacey Keach. He was so young in this one.
I like him better with a mustache and beard, though. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think about his pony in this thing? He had a pretty sweet pony.
Yeah, he had a ponytail going on.
Yeah, it looked great.
If you haven't watched 30 Rock all the way to the end, you haven't seen the greatest thing Stacey Keach ever did.
That's absolutely true. He was really good in that. But he has a great voice. He's a good narrator. He's all of those things. And when I saw him, I got excited just a little bit. And him rolling around with Ensign Row like that, some of that stuff was like kind of nerd me out, but then so bad, so badly executed. The acting was so terrible. And we have clips to, you know, we're not just talking stuff here. Before we
move on, we were just talking about AJ Langer, Lady Courtenay.
Mm-hmm.
I love comparing Google searches to Bing searches. And so I just went to Bing and searched her name, AJ Langer. And it gives you all these, did you want to maybe search for AJ Langer feet?
Oh, no.
Yes,
do
yes,
I
did. Yes.
Like, no.
Why don't.
You know me being.
It's a weird thing. Any actress's name you put into Google does that, too. I mean, you start getting.
Whoa, there's a website called WikiFeet? What?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, there's a website called WikiFeet.
Really, is it just photos of actresses' feet?
Yep. Says celebrities, videos, uploads, requests. We're going to look here.
Quest.
Heidi Klum's feet. Let's see how those are looking these days. Okay, great.
Gnarly.
Wow. There's a whole website.
Man. WikiFeet Miley Cyrus.
WikiFeet.com.
Oh, no. Stop.
Look, and it's called, and look how serious they are at the top of their logo. WikiFeet, the collaborative celebrity feet website. Contact us. Yeah, no. Disclaimer. They have a disclaimer.
Awesome.
Anyway.
I just learned that Miley Cyrus has the words Rolling Stone on the bottom of her feet.
Of course she does.
Really?
And she actually has camel toe.
She and sure
her
does,
pop
y'all.
Was not even
it's actual
stone.
Camel toe.
Yeah, she has a camel
it's
toe.
It's the toe of a camel right there.
That's right.
Dancing with Miley.
What else here? We got a trope. I got a trope. How about this trope? Whoops. Trope. There we go. Trope. Make sure you put that disc in before you talk to him instead of beforehand. I love that trope where, hey, we got a cool little technology device that looks like a garage door opener. And inside it are tiny little CDs because that'll be the future of data. So when I come in here to play something for you, this hologram, I'm going to make sure to spend about 5 seconds of airtime opening it, inserting the disc, and shutting it.
Right.
Why do you got to do that? Just use it.
P.S. 2013, hologram technology be so cheap, everybody use it for practical jokes.
Right. Of course they will.
Yeah.
That was dumb, and I don't like those little things with the buttons on them. They were seriously like garage door openers. Just pissed me off.
Yeah.
Plutoxin is a stupid virus name.
Why would they? Yeah.
Pliskin, Plutoxin, I wondered about that.
They were making it up. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah. I wondered if they were just trying to be funny with that. But this is, I mean, this whole series, these two movies, I dare not call it a series, but these two movies, they're basically the Riddick movies of the old times. You know what I mean? Right. Like, this is Riddick.
Yeah.
It's a guy who is has weird stuff going on, but he's tougher than everybody else. Zero depth perception, yet he escapes death constantly.
Except he's the greatest basketball player the world
time.
Has ever known.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not gonna lie. Everything about this movie... to me, rotates around that basketball scene because I felt such pressure when that happened because I was like, no way is he going to be uncool enough because he's too cool. He's too cool for school.
Yeah.
He's got a patch on. No way is he going to agree to looking like an idiot and shooting basketball. Yeah. Nope.
He did.
He did it.
And that time he went to go pick up his own rebound off that layup and then dropped it and then grabbed it again.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you look like me up there, dude.
Oh, man.
I can't take this seriously at all.
I guess this was still around the time that Michael Jordan was the biggest celebrity in the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 96 would have been. In fact, that was the year they did. They took the championship from us. That was a huge year.
So it was,
when he played with 104 fever on our court. And still scored 60 points.
What would it be if everything else was the same, but they were making this film now, this year? What would have been the weird activity that they would have tried to capitalize on? Snake Plissken being able.
Here's the thing. We should go around the table with this, but I've actually already cast this the remake you're talking about. You want to know who's directing and who's starring?
Yeah.
Well,
all right. It is directed by. And I got to look up his name because I forgot the guy's name. But it is directed by. We're going to say this as if it's true. Pete Travis, most recently known for his directorial treatment of Dread in 2012.
Okay.
So he's directing, and the actor that will be portraying Snake Plissken, no other casting's been announced, but the actor who will play the main dude there is Norman Reedus, who currently is enjoying his time in The Walking Dead as Daryl Dixon.
Okay, I'm gonna disagree with you.
Right.
I got a better Snake Plissken.
Who you got?
My opinion.
Okay.
I think it should be Bradley Cooper.
Oh, I don't.
It should be Ryan Gosling.
Oh my god,
good looking heartthrob. Yeah,
Carl
Urban would be fine, and plus he's already worked with the Dread guys, so
exactly,
that'll work.
Yeah, that's actually where I thought you were going.
And Carl Urban can already talk like this.
I think Norman Reedus has a way of. I think he actually could do some quality to the role. Is all I'm getting at. I'm looking for somebody who's not just pretty. All right, before we talk more about that. And what they might do for a remake. Let's talk about another remake I'm excited about, and that is not really a remake. How about this? A book I love or a series I love being turned into a film. Talked lots of times on the show before how much I love the Dark Tower series. And I still say that that would be one of the most amazing things ever in the right hands and in the right, you know, I guess the right actors and the right everything. Turns out there's finally some movement happening. And we may finally get the film after all. Russell Crowe might be attached. There's mostly still rumors, but whatever. A guy can hope. And here's the way I can satisfy my Dark Tower needs in the meantime. I go to audible.com and I get the entire series via audiobook. I need to go run around the track. I need to walk the dog. You guys need to commute. There's all kinds of chances for you to pick up your iPod or your iPhone or your Android phone or your whatever and listen to a good audiobook. And I love those books. They're amazing. This isn't the first time I've mentioned them. Pick up The Gunslinger, start there, end it with the final book, book 7, The Dark Tower. They're amazing. And they're read by really great people, and you'll love them. You can get that, though, or any other audiobook. You don't have to take my recommendation. You can get any other book you want to listen to absolutely for free if you go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack today. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. We appreciate Audible's support of the show. All right, Brian, tell us more.
They had actually looked at doing a remake of Escape from New York. Of course, not this one. But if they were going to go with a Snake Plissken, they have already looked at Gerard Butler.
Oh, Gerard Butler could do it.
Would make an excellent.
He could do it. He may be a few years beyond the prime when he maybe should have best to have done it. But but whatever. I don't know how old what's his name was here, but he had been. You know, he's not. He was no spring chicken anymore. Yeah. I'll just throw my card on the table now and say it's not a way of saying that, but whatever. I believe they need to make a remake of New York or L.A. or both. I don't care which or both or make it one movie or whatever.
Right.
I would be all into that because conceptually I've always been behind this. It's always been a thing I'm into. It's, I like this idea of lone gunman, put him in this worst possible thing. It's the diehard thing. It's the reason I like Dredd, and the reason I pulled Dredd out was the same reasons. It's Dredd is kind of, if you've seen the new Dredd movie, it's basically one of these kinds of movies. You put him in this place, he can't get out, he's got to escape. Huge body count, save the girl, get out, go. And it's done really well. Do that again with this. Give it this name so it has the gravitas of what's come before. Call him Snake Plissken. Have a good actor. Get a good director. Make it really violent. Mm-hmm. There, I'm all in for that. I'd watch that
absolutely
movie.
I'd see that.
Post-apocalyptica, man. That's what I like.
I'm down with that. Yeah,
The idea of earthquakes just shutting everything off and creating a small island in California is an awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
So make a good movie around that, please.
Yeah, it's an awesome idea that no one's ever done in a movie before.
I realize that. But
dude,
I'm
willing to do it. The penal colony trope is just sad.
I know. I mean, wasn't Warriors just basically that? All of New York had become a cordoned off gang
Judge
territory.
Judge Dredd, right. You just named.
Yeah, Dredd's that way.
We watched that movie where gorgeous Brit goes to space where there's a penal colony.
Wasn't Running Man just a penal colony or was it just.
Did you say Running World? Man or Running Man?
Yeah, Running Man.
Running Man, sure.
Star Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The Undiscovered Country had a whole prison planet.
I love it. Ooh, Alien 3 is all about prison planet.
Yeah, Fury 161.
Yeah, dude. See? These are great ideas. Let's make more.
No, they're
like
not.
That. No, they
they're
are. They are ideas. Great. They are great. I love that. I love a tropey condition and then work in the condition. That's some of my favorite kind of movies. I have no problem with that. Torpedo transportation is the hot new thing in 2013. I don't know if you guys knew that.
So
that was so funny.
I'm not even going to.
Oh man, the scene where he is using the torpedo ship thing that. Yeah, his whole mentality is, okay, I need to save time because I've only got 12, 16, 20-something hours. Anyway, his idea is to go as fast as freaking possible, even if it means bounce around like a freaking pinball.
Uh-huh.
It's retarded.
Yeah, you can't. You can't park it, I guess. You can't just pull up to the edge of the coast and get out. You have to fly up onto the bank. And, like onto the cement, have that thing cave in because you're so heavy.
This defines the character totally for me in this movie, though, because when that happens, you realize he is not a hero by He's just not a hero because he's not a hero because he's skilled. He's not skilled at anything. He's just super lucky. Yeah, and he's got such an attitude about it.
But he's also the sociopathic hero, right?
Right.
He's like Riddick. He's like Billy the Kid. He's the guy who tells everyone, "All right, we're going to play by Tijuana rules." And then, you know, is only doing that so that he can break the rules.
right.
Yeah, that was a pretty sneaky move there at the end. But just some more context about when this movie was made and how out of place it feels for when it was made in terms of quality and actual, you know, a theatrical release like this. This is the exact same year Buscemi was in Fargo. Mm. And Fargo feels like a movie that was made 20 years after something like Escape from New York was made. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like the same, I don't want to say universe because they're not, but you know what I mean? Like the same Hollywood is working on it. I feel like Bollywood made Escape from L.A. and Hollywood made Fargo. And you know, you can't go 1 minute from going, "Hey, I'm the tour of the stars" or whatever, to "You shot me in the face." It's not even comparable, those two movies. Not even close. Also, Pliskin sounds like a Jewish accountant. Just throwing that out there. Never a tough name.
Hello, I'm a tiny Pliskin. Yeah. Accountant Pliskin here.
You can call me Snake. Although I kinda like the Olympic Stadium. That whole thing was cool. Because they made a real mess out of it, or at least it looked like they did.
And
shit everywhere, and I like that.
And a couple of times they even went almost – they almost made a statement a couple of times, almost. Like, you know, this was the only – it was the most dangerous place in the country, but it was also the only place where you could be free. And they almost made a couple of good points, but then they would just drown it out.
They petered away with fake helicopters and bad basketball.
Right.
Things. That was all super stupid. And it had a trope like this. Like all Gladiator movies, the crowd starts to root for the dude they first hate.
Right.
Snake. And like all Gladiator movies, every single person in the crowd has a gun.
Yeah.
that's going to work out. Seriously.
Yeah.
How is this society managing itself if everyone is openly carrying?
Arm everyone. Give them a clip to shoot in the air when they come into the stadium. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind
of. You would kill off 95% of your population on that island within a few days.
Did you guys have any fun with the way? I mean, the way it ended was the president's on camera. Well, the way it ends is Pliskin enters 666 into a code. Was the worst. Nobody took any like password advice or anything on this. That's the worst password. Mm-hmm. But all of the world's circling orbiting satellites in synchronization send an EMP shockwave and turn off everything permanently. So now
based
we're
on a 3-digit code.
Yeah, that's it. Now I kind of had a little fun with that. I have to admit, this idea, to me, again, the idea won out over execution, but the idea that you could just shut everything down and mankind would be essentially the entire playing field would be leveled. Nobody would have power because nobody's got technology to exert power. That's interesting to me. It always is.
Right.
But it was shitty. I mean, that's not good the way they did it.
What did y'all think about Pam Grier's performance as Hershey of Lape Palmas?
Was that her voice? Or was she?
I was wondering if somebody dubbed in her voice. I was wondering exactly the same thing. Yeah,
because she says, "Here's one where she says, let's see, I'm gonna just play one of her things now. Here it is. Where is it?
What are you talking about?
No, that's not. Hold on a second.
My name is Hershey. Do you understand, Pliskin?
It feels a little like they were doing one of those like documentaries where they put a black silhouette and change their voice,
right?
So it maybe does.
Like maybe somebody told her we want you to sound like a dude.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sounding a dude pretending to sound like Pam Grier.
I didn't know it was her until
you looked it up.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. I thought it was a dude. She had a hairy armpit. So
had a hairy armpit.
I mean, I know women can do that, but
I know women can grow the pit hair.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Women did not fare well in this movie
all.
Not even a little bit. Like at one point they give Snake a love interest for a little while and then just kill her off suddenly for no reason. And he doesn't it doesn't even faze him.
No.
Which one? The Italian girl?
One? Okay. Her name was Taslima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one that got shot out in the middle while she was talking about how free everything was and then got shot.
Right. Yeah. It's like that's what I was saying. Like, it's like, oh, they're making a really good point. Oh, they killed her. What was that?
Yeah. I just liked how everything looked just like a play set. Like nothing looked real to me. And when I say I like that, I didn't like that about it. I like, you know, I like my destroyed cities, civilization has been ruined kind of look and feel to feel real and gritty. Everything felt like horrible green screen, really, really bad set design, and just plastic and fake. Right. And so I never was able to take any of that seriously. When that tsunami came, and him and Peter Fonda went surfing. That was so
bad. Please tell me you all thought of Sharknado.
I still haven't seen Sharknado.
I haven't seen Sharknado, so I couldn't have.
Yeah. No, but now that you say that, I haven't seen Sharknado either, but I know enough about Sharknado to know.
Yeah. It was the same level of effects, which, I mean, just goes to show, like, in 1997 or whenever, they couldn't even find, you know, the $200 budget that sci-fi had to make Sharknado.
Yeah.
Right.
That looked real bad, that part, and them high-fiving and talking. It was just, that was shit. It was just shit. What else? You guys got anything else? Any other tropes? Any other?
There's so many tropes in this movie that I don't really want to get too deeply into them because it's just like you start to wonder, why did they do this?
The pivotal point of this movie, which is not an unusual one, the daughter's rebelling against the president. You see this a lot.
Right.
So the daughter
we just saw this recently in the other one.
What was it? There was some.
We had a whole discussion about it.
Yeah. Right.
Lockout.
Lockout.
That was Maggie Grace, by the way.
Right. Wait, that one was Maggie Grace?
A call back to last
that
week.
Was.
Yep. We saw a use of this trope in The Golden Child. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We talked about it. There was another one we talked about this trope.
You think it's just old man Bib and old lady Grace got together one night on a hot date? I wonder though, you know, because sorry to keep resurrecting that conversation, but those two, I don't get it. They are ridiculously similar, those women. Anyway, yes. Here's the thing though, that thing with the president who's crazy and the daughter rebels, even in lighter forms of that, you see it all over the place. The West Wing had a huge storyline about how the daughter just couldn't agree with Bartlett's policies. And so she would go and protest against him and during election time, make it hard for him to get the good family kind of vibe so that they would get the vote of people who would just say, oh, look at the Bartlett's. They got it going on. Nope. The one daughter's rebelling and going against her dad's things. So even in a more innocuous, less violent version of that, that thing is used to death and it's always a dad and it's always a president and he's usually a dude until we get, a female one, but and it's always his daughter every time.
I'd like to point out that Zoe Bartlett storyline was the least enjoyable thing ever.
Where she got kidnapped? Is that the one?
Yeah. Like it's just like, okay, that story's over. We're never going to tell you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you who kidnapped her, why, what. Yeah.
It was, that was weird. But that was also when Slappy left. What's his name? Yeah, the newsroom guy. I can't think of his name. The guy that wrote and directed the Social Network. Aaron Sorkin. Jeez, he didn't direct it. He wrote it. Aaron Sorkin left that year, and things got a little bit weird. That's when they had John Goodman move into the White House and had that little dog with him. So that was all. That was almost jumping the shark time, and then they righted the ship after that. But he had this other daughter that was like an environmentalist or something. And
there was a bunch of this if you look at it this way in Battlestar Galactica with Hera.
Oh right, yeah. Anytime you start involving that stuff, things get a little weird. We're in the middle of season 4 right now, and it's all up in the Hera stuff right now.
She's a president's daughter trope.
Yeah, I don't like it. Not a fan. I don't like that. I don't know why it's so overused because I don't think it's
the president's son. It's never ever.
It isn't. It's never a guy going, "That's it, Dad. I'm breaking off the shackles."
Ron Reagan Jr. Ron Reagan Jr. is the president's son.
Right. That would work. Isn't he still? He's still a like liberal radio guy, isn't he?
I have no idea.
Ron Jr. But he's from someone else, some other marriage. I don't know, whatever that was. But yeah, so maybe it even exists in real politics, and that's why this keeps coming out. But I just think it's old and tired. So quit doing that.
Quit it.
Is that guy still alive? Guy that played Spider-Man's uncle? Can't think of his name now. Cliff Robertson. Is he dead?
No, he died in that movie. Don't you remember?
No, he died 2 years ago, it looks like.
Did he really?
Yeah. Spider-Man's uncle.
September 10th, 2011, age 88 in New York.
Aw.
Yeah. Born in 23, dude.
Wow. Yeah, when you look at that picture on his IMDb page, you see his age there for sure.
How come that one ear is so much bigger than his other ear? What's that about? Is that just an age thing?
How cool is it that his, like, basically the last thing he did was that character in Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And he was well suited and remembered for that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great.
He's a great Uncle Ben. Yeah.
I'm looking at some older pictures of him when he was young and up and coming. He's a good looking dude. Get this guy.
Yeah. Just a Man reminder crush. Though, like as you get to the pictures of Cliff Robertson in his 50s and 60s, yeah. It's a reminder to all of you, men, don't color your hair. Yeah. Just don't color it. Right. It starts to look so bad.
Yeah. And also if you want to remember that Peter Fonda can actually act and he wasn't just pooping his life away in this movie, watch 310 to Yuma again. He's so good in that. Fantastic in that. Oh my gosh. He dies early, but spoiler, he's fantastic. Boy, I love that movie. I love that remake. One of my favorite westerns of all time. What else?
By the way, you know what's coming out on DVD this week that you might have missed because it has all the gravitas of a cup of coffee is White House Down. And I just want to recommend that movie. Go if you didn't see it at the theaters and no one did, go rent it. You might like
Butler
White House
one
Down.
Or is that the Olympus Has Fallen one? That. Because we had another Armageddon deep
right,
in there.
Right, exactly. I'm talking about the Jamie Foxx movie.
Okay. Wait a minute. Which one did I see?
Jamie Foxx is the president.
And Channing Tatum is the intrepid badass.
Tater Channum is the other guy, right? I love those kinds of things, so I'm in regardless. I don't care.
I did see this one. I saw this one.
It was surprisingly good bad. It was a surprisingly good bad movie.
It sounds like a lot of fun from what people have told me. I like that stuff. I like Die Hard in the White House. Sounds like fun to me. Mm-hmm. I like Die Hard in everything. That whole idea, dude. Dread Die Hard in a place run by Cersei Lannister. That's what that is. That's a big Die Hard building, trying to get out and killing everybody as you go. It's great. So more of those, please. All right, let's do some clips. We got a few. They start with this one right here, which is this.
Hello, Plissken. Welcome to L.A.
I just couldn't take that guy seriously. Hello, Plissken. Right. How you doing? Welcome to the city. All right, here's
thanks, Kermie.
Yeah, here's Stacy Keach and Ensign Roe hanging out right here. Whoops, didn't play. Here you go.
That's Snake Plissken.
What'd you expect?
I don't know. He just looks so retro, kind of 20th century.
Good old days.
Yeah, good old days.
Grid kind of stuff.
Callbacks to the first movie.
If you haven't watched this movie, just imagine an hour and a half of that.
Yeah.
Like, right. Seriously, that's the whole movie. That sort of bland kind of snark, but not really.
He's stupid.
Here is a clip titled Seems Like a Raw Deal. I don't remember what that's about.
So. You now have the option to repent of your sins and be electrocuted on the premises.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, right. That was kind of weird. Yeah.
And then we see people, getting electrocuted, and they look like totally normal. They look well fed. Yeah. You're like, why are these people killing themselves? Yeah. They're fine.
It was odd.
Right. And it's not even that bad once you get inside.
That's the other trope. Almost said scrote.
My scrote.
is that this idea that an ultra conservative leader couldn't be more conservative. No swearing, no smoking, no drinking, no lady, no women, no whatever their rules were.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's this idea that you've got that society. So you established it. And of course people are rebelling against it because, you know, we can't control people like that, blah, 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 blah. But then the president himself is actually just an evil turd bastard who probably is swearing, smoking, drinking, having a lot of ladies and things that I haven't even described.
And his whole aim is to rule the world. Well, okay. You have to get this one thing to do it. Really?
Yeah.
It must not be. I don't know. It just can't be. This doesn't sound legitimate.
Doesn't hold.
You know?
Doesn't hold water. Mm-hmm. I don't hold with it, bub.
Maybe this was. Maybe this was his thing. He was trying that week. You know, kind of like Pinky in the Brain.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe we're seeing the week seven and the other six were better.
The next Acme delivery is about to arrive, and
that sounds about right. Who do we call you exactly?
I love a team.
Skip the commentary, Plissken.
Snake. Call me Snake. Ugh.
Just call me Snake.
That's shit.
And then rub my snake.
Whoops. Jungle. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Random
that
Django.
Was perfect.
I didn't mean really to click that.
Call me Django.
You just made this movie so much better for me by just playing that sound clip.
I did not mean that at all. Sorry. Let's see. How about this one? Best future weapon ever designed.
Oral projectile. Mouth dart.
You know, it's an oral projectile. Mouth dart. I'd like a mouth dart, please.
Right.
Mouth dart. She says something else stupid. In fact, maybe she should explain this a third time. Here you go. Whoops.
This is a holocam. It's a portable holographic camera.
This is a holocam. You know, a portable holographic camera.
Like a hologram that does graphics. Holographic.
Right.
Camera.
It's a holo cam.
The mouth dart was a great trope, by the way.
Oh, is it?
This, you know, like this magic drug that does what the movie needs it to do.
Oh, right. You always need one of those. What do they call those? A plot device? Sure.
Exactly. Right. And it is the James Bond trope where they introduce all the weapons. And as soon as you see, you think you're towards the end of the film and he hasn't used one yet, that means he's using it right now.
How about shooting the messengers?
By the way, who gives me the antidote?
The medical team will be standing by.
Neither one of you?
No.
Good.
I like that he called it the antidote.
The antidote. There's so many worse ways that could have gone. Uh-huh. Like, all right, he gets to Los Angeles and, oh my God, there's the guy. I can shoot him right now. Oh, gun's full of blanks. Great. Okay. Dead.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't think that was very good. And besides, if you shot them, they're going to make sure you don't get, they're not, if they're not the ones giving the antidote, who cares? They're still going to, if their deaths are going to make it null and void. That's stupid. Yes. All right, Snake has a point.
You slow down, dickhead. I'm the one who's dying.
There you go. Slow down, dickhead. You're the one, or I'm the one's dying. All right, Buscemi.
Well, I've been hanging out around here for more years than I want to think about, but I never thought I'd see Snake Plissken cruising Sunset Boulevard. It's a real pleasure to meet you.
Seriously, he
that
has
was a mouthful.
He just, it's the same guy. Right. It's always the
it
same
totally
guy.
It totally is, yeah.
Is it ever a different guy? No.
And if you closed your eyes and just thought about four rooms, you could pretend it was Quentin Tarantino.
Sure. Why not? here is, this is Bruce Campbell. I only got one clip of him, but he is checking out somebody's boobs and is shocked that they're real. So here you go.
My God, they're real.
That's it. That's all you get. It's all the Bruce Campbell I'm giving you.
Yeah, it looked like, based on what we've seen Valerie Galino in other films, it looked like those couldn't have been real.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. No offense, but
yeah,
I got plenty of things that are sagging. So don't. I'm not one to point these things out. But when you go to, you know, you watch Rain Man,
right? They just, you know, they just weren't that big in Rain Man.
No, they were like loose elbow skin or something.
Oh, jeez.
All right, maybe not that bad. She's very attractive. She's very attractive. Let's see. What is with the really bad sound? Oh, the sound work. Listen how bad this dialogue is. Like, they didn't have the right mics that day, and they didn't overdub later. It's really weird.
The mission is screwed, Commander. I should never let you talk me out of that airstrike. Well, it's on now.
It's like people are podcasting with, like, a notebook and a... It's terrible.
Maybe they were recording rehearsals around a table, and it just came out really nicely. And then, just stick with that audio.
here's his con impression, the bad guy. Here you go.
Now I told you not to try to get this back, didn't I? But you disobeyed me.
Does that not sound like...
Welcome to Fantasy.
Totally, yeah.
Disobey me.
But it asks me.
Captain Kirk.
It asks me. I love him. And this guy was Spanish, so it makes sense. Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you know, Spanish. All right. I guess that is the same thing. Anyway, bend over, Mr. President.
Bend over, Mr. President.
That's all I had on that.
Mm.
hold on. If you ever want to hear Steve Buscemi's face slammed on a horn repeatedly, I got you covered. So here that is. That made me laugh. That part
that
was funny.
Scene with the surfing and the landing on the convertible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you like the crappy knockoff music too? Funny. It wasn't quite the... ding, 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 that Tarantino
that is a surf.
Is it actual song? Because it sounded like a bad knockoff.
That is a Dick Dale. That is Dick Dale who did the.
Say Dick Dale one more time.
I like it Dick when you Dale. Say Dick Dale.
If I say it three more times, though, he's going to appear in my bathroom.
Yeah, don't do that.
Dick Smith.
Yeah,
but actually, That actually may have had my favorite little thing in the movie, which was you open up the glove compartment and you'd take two shots of magic right knockout drug right to the chest. Like, yeah. Right to I don't know why that just tickled me, that little device.
And it went black and white, and Buscemi's talking to him. That was great. Buscemi, what's this? Oh, you hear this a lot. You hear that a lot in this movie. That's him coughing all the time while his thing was taking place.
He was getting sick because the virus, the Pluxton 7 or whatever.
Pluxton 7. That was my favorite bank heist movie of the 1980s. The Pluxton 7. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
That's Buscemi. Okay, great.
What is he talking about? Does he ever actually say anything valuable in the movie?
No, not once. And he looked like the Joker. If you squinted your eyes and paused it, he looked like the Joker the entire time. He had pale face, purple hat, purple
suit.
So,
like, his only actual purpose, the only reason that character's in that movie, is so that Snake has something to switch out the control device with.
You know,
right?
It just hit me.
It's all for that one joke?
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. But it absolutely just hit me that if you ever go and make a Batman movie, Warner Brothers, and you want the Batman movie to be set in the future, let's say you do Batman Beyond. And Batman's super old, like in that cartoon, and he's got some young kid doing his bidding, and you need an old Joker, I think Buscemi's your guy. He would be a great old Joker.
He would be.
I think he would work out really well. All right, now we ask the question, what's your name?
My name is Hershey. Do you understand, Pliskin?
Change your name. Don't be Hershey.
Hershey. My name is Hershey. What do you mean I'm doing something with my voice?
I am not Pam Grier.
I remember when I saw my neighbor before the crime. Everything was fine until I saw sparks flying out of the garage.
Why pronounce it this way? So here's her overpronouncing a word, and I'm sure you guys heard it, but here it is just in case.
We're going to need some kind of diversion.
All of a sudden she's
let me insinuate
Rasta.
Diversion man. All right, now he's a hologram.
He's not even here. He's a hologram.
Easy. Go back to the Pegasus. We'll talk later. All right.
Ensign Rhode. Did she ever really
Rhodey acting?
Mm-hmm. Did she ever really do anything where she had to be subtle?
Battlestar was pretty good.
The Killing. She was great in the first season or two of The Killing.
Yeah. She was okay in True Blood. She was. I thought she was
subtle?
Great in Battlestar.
Very subtle.
I thought she was subtle in Battlestar as well.
All right.
Commander Kane, was it? Yeah, Commander Kane. Kane, yeah. She was really good in that. Mm-hmm. That whole storyline was great. That whole conflict between the Galactica and the Pegasus, that was badass. Dick Smith. Just kidding. That was from 2 weeks ago. And then Fletcher doing what he does best.
Sad story. You got a smoke?
Yeah, dude. No, I don't actually, but thanks. Appreciate it. Mm. Okay. That's it. That's all the clips we have. And that means time for the checklist. Two balls and a string that you throw at a dude's neck and it beats guns. Check. Treadmill as future torture device? Check. What the hell was that? And you put him on the treadmill and they're showing the video to the president. And they're like, that's Snake Plissken back there. And I'm looking at him and he's like doing his 2 miles.
Right. He's chained to it with his head down.
He's on warm-up.
He's on the warm-up mode.
Why not just put your feet on the opposite sides? They didn't have his feet tied.
No.
Just put your feet on the outside areas.
That's Plissken what I do.
Was not the smartest.
Yeah. Not the smartest workouter in the gym. Let's see. Death by missing your full court shot. Check. Star Trek stuff. We got a few connections here. Shelley Desai, cloaked figure in this movie, played the Bullion barber Vassal in the 4th season episode Data's Day. I actually remember that. He talked in that.
Yeah.
It's a dude, by the way. Michelle Forbes, of course. She played Brazen in this. What a dumb name for a lady. Mm-hmm. In TNG, played Bajoran Starfleet officer Rolaren in several episodes, and in TNG, played Dara in the episode Half a Life. I don't remember her playing someone else on TNG, so that's weird. Why don't I remember that? Oh, she was a Vulcan or a Romulan,
a
maybe. She was maybe a Romulan, yeah. I think. I could be wrong on that. And then Leland Orser played Test Tube. Who is Test Tube?
I don't know.
I know who Test Tube is. He's the guy that did all the science for the bad guy, I think. You've seen this guy.
I'm looking. There it is. Okay.
You'll know him.
This is a movie where Snake Plissken flies a helicopter for a good 5 minutes after it catches on fire. So yeah. I'm not terribly.
You know the face though, Brian.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's in
yeah.
lots of other stuff, movies.
He was
and
in
stuff.
Independence Day. Mm-hmm. He was. We saw him there.
He's a nervous guy a lot of the time.
He's totally the nervous guy. Like he's you know the nerdy science guy with the glasses.
Uh huh.
He freaked out. Easily swayed by the bad guy.
He freaked out in Seven. He was a dude in Seven. I want to say one of the guys. Oh yeah, he's the one that was forced
to have sex with the
had to wear the wiener chopper thing. That's where that face always jumps out at me.
And Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, that's him, Leland Orser. What a stud! And that guy's been doing all kinds of stuff. Check him out. He was
what a stud.
2 episodes of DS9. He was in Voyager and Enterprise. So there you go. Soundtrack grade. I'd give it an HMB WMS, which is had moments but was mostly shit. There's that. Because most of it was like that weird synthy. Again, music out of time. Like in 96, we were done with that sound. We weren't doing that weird synthy sci-fi slow organ crap. That was gone. So I don't know what they were
doing. It was distractingly bad. Distracting from a bad movie, too.
Probably written by Carpenter. Because remember, he used to do that a lot. That was kind of his thing.
Right. He still does that stuff. And they didn't listen to it.
Doesn't do it now. Just eats fried chicken. That's what I heard.
Just eat fried chicken.
IMDb photo is fantastic. It's a total get off my lawn photo
of Carpenter.
Yeah.
Oh, let's take a look. Let's see. Why don't I see that? Cliff Robertson's looking at me with his wrinkles. There we go. Oh yeah, dude, that's great. Yeah. That's how you want your Carpenter right there. Someone took a picture when he was not ready. Wow. Born in 48. Been around for a while, that guy.
Did we mention that both Bobby Carradine and film sack staple Al Leong are in this movie?
No.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Asian guy who fought in Big Trouble in Little China looks like a walrus.
Yep.
Big long mustache.
Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm. Exactly that guy.
And Bobby Carradine, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, host of King of the Nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
He's got a bit role in here.
Next, he works with Booger on that show, right?
Mm-hmm. Dude, such a horrible, horrible show that you just can't look away from.
I liked it at first, and then I really started to hate it after a while.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
No, it's horrible, but you can't look away.
I interviewed what's-her-name from that show, and she regrets her time on there. Let's see.
Okay.
Well, she told me that... Panzer. She told me that they don't...
They edited me to make me look bad.
They edited her and look bad, is what she said. I assume all reality shows do that to some degree.
Yeah.
Yep.
You gotta find a villain. And if you don't, you can't find one, make one.
Yeah, exactly.
This movie edited Kurt Russell to make him look bad.
Sure did.
Did anyone look good in this movie?
Let's edit this episode to have 140 character or less Twitter responses from, let's start with Randio. I don't know. He'd be good.
Randio. Escape from L.A. I'm Kurt Russell, and I did this voice a full decade before that hack Christian Bale. Speaking of hack...
Well done.
Very good.
Brian Dunaway.
Escape from L.A. I don't think you're supposed to be pulling for an air ball from your hero during the arena of basketball death, but you do. Escape from John Carpenter.
I like that Brandon made the point at the top of the show how they all shoot toward the middle of the court. They would just shoot each other, the dumbasses.
Right, exactly.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Escape from L.A. Oh, so that's what happened to my Amiga graphics chip.
Nice.
Love it.
See, you got it. You're good. You weren't sure you had it, but you had it. You nailed it.
All right.
A couple of alternate titles just handed to me. Snakes on a Torpedo, or We Have to Call This the Happy Kingdom So We Don't Get Sued.
Right.
One other rejected one. Those Are Really Convenient Time to Earthquakes is another one they rejected. I got a couple emails here. One from Matt B. who wrote in and said, "Hey, Sackers, just want to suggest one of my favorite movies ever found while falling down the rabbit hole that is Netflix streaming called The Legend of 1900. Stars Tim Roth and Pruitt Taylor Vince. Huh. It's the story of a jazz phenom that grows up on an ocean liner and never sets foot on land. The movie has one of the most powerful and impressive, at least unusual, duel scenes in any movie I've ever watched. Not sure if it's streaming on Netflix anymore, but it's available completely on YouTube as well. If not sack-worthy, it's wonderfully watchable. Ibbett and Randy really would enjoy this one, I think. Matt B.
Oh, yeah. We like Pruitt Taylor Vince. He's the kind of heavy-set guy who can make his eyes twitch back and forth really weird.
We do like that guy. We also like Tim Roth, so bring them both.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. And then a last email from Ashley, who wrote in, says, hi, rewatched Reanimator and was suitably horrified. Just a few comments. Scott, don't feel weird. I don't like strange dudes junk pressing up against me on public transport either. She says, apparently not everyone is as disturbed by headless zombie boob munching as you or I. This scene is considered one of the top monster slash human sex scenes of all time. I'd link you to a list, but there is an uncomfortable amount. Great podcast, wow. Ashley. Well, thank you, Ashley. I feel like we commiserated there.
Nice.
I don't think any of us really, nobody really enjoyed nobody what was it. On yeah. display.
Yeah, nobody wanted to see that.
Yeah, I don't think that was any, nobody enjoyed that. Someone somewhere does, and that's the scary part. Next film, The One. Randy, what is The One? I don't even know what this one is. What is The One?
Jet Li, baby.
Oh, yeah, 2001.
He's The One.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't this supposed to be his last film, and then he went on and did a bunch more anyway?
So it was supposed to be his last, like, martial arts badassery movie.
Yeah,
right.
Directed by James Wong, who is responsible for the Final Destination movies.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll see all ways for Jet Li to die. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Death Race with Jason Statham.
The One, as I understand, also includes Jason Statham, Delroy Lindo, Carla Gugino, so on.
Oh, I'm in then.
You are in. We're watching in. It.
Yeah, you don't have any choice. You can't back out now.
So watch for that next week. That's The One. Actually, it won't be next week. Next week, we'll be in Anaheim. Well, Randy will be where he lives, but we'll be there visiting where he lives for BlizzCon, and we will not be there. So no show next week unless something crazy happens. We'll let you know if it does, but we'll be right back after that with a new episode, and that will be for The One.
Yes.
It's going to do it for us, folks. Go to the website, filmsack.com, I believe is where you go. That's a place you can see stuff. All of our show notes are there, links to everything we do, archives, all of it right there. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at filmsack. Please follow us there. It's always fun to talk with you guys there, so please do. That's at filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes because we love those as well, or wherever fine podcasts are sold. That'll do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Snake.
We'll see you next time.
Call me Snake.
No.
Draw.
No.
Call me maybe.
No.
Ah!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
From the big screen to the small screen of your smart device, visual effects are everywhere. Students in the digital video program at University of Advancing Technology produce content in this innovative field. These students produce award-winning effects films with applications in diverse industries, ranging from video production to news gathering and animation to gaming. Graduates from this program can be found running studios and working on productions like Ender's Game, Under the Dome, Castle, Avatar, The Avengers, The Wolverine, Pacific Rim, and many, many more. Learn more about UAT's digital video degree at uat.edu.